Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. 47 ministers, 41 wives, 3 ministerial trainees and their wives, representing 12 American states and 7 countries, attended the 2025-26 Philadelphia Church of God Ministerial Conference. The conference was held December 31st through January 6th here on the campus of Herbert W. Armstrong College in Edmond, Oklahoma. It was a momentous conference, the first one in, I believe, 2.5 years, and I think it was the 22nd conference in the history of the PCG. The conference consisted of 21 lectures in 5 days, and that was a total of 26 hours and 15 minutes of instruction. The lectures were given by the pastor general, the evangelists, the regional directors and department heads, and it was all about helping the ministry of the PCG better serve the needs of God's work. The work has a two-pronged commission. We are expected to prophesy again in support of PCG Pastor General Gerald Fleury. That commission is in Revelation 10 and verse 11. It's prophesying again because after Herbert W. Armstrong died in 1986, the successors in the Worldwide Church of God tore down the church, destroyed his legacy, dismantled the biblical doctrines that he preached. Mr. Armstrong reached out and delivered the gospel message around the world, fulfilling Matthew 24 and verse 14. And yet, his successors wanted nothing to do with that unselfish, globally focused mission. So the church today has to prophesy again, and there is more emphasis on a warning today, warning people of the consequences of sin. What happens when we break God's law? That is the first commission of the church, warning the world. Revelation 10, verse 11, prophesy again. Declare not only the coming suffering, but the vision of the return of Jesus Christ to solve all world problems, to bring peace to mankind. Then there's also the second commission of the church, which is to feed the flock. We are to spiritually nurture the brethren of the PCG and to help bring along those who reach out to the church and are interested in being invited to attend services. We have to feed the sheep and feed the lambs. That's another job of the ministry. And yet there's only 48 ministers in the entire world to serve about 5,000 attending brethren of the PCG. I say 48 and not 47 this time because my good friend Mr. Samuel Livingston was ordained during the conference. So we went up from 47 ministers at the start to 48 ministers by the end. But still, that's not very much, and that is, again, to serve all 5,000 or so attendees of the PCG and to deliver a message to the entire world as well. So with such little manpower in the ministry, every minister needs to know how to function efficiently, how to do his job to the best of his ability, empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And that's really the benefit of the ministerial conference. It's strongly emphasized at every conference that all that instruction that the ministers receive needs to be passed along to the church. It needs to be applied in each minister's responsibilities to better fulfill this two-pronged commission to warn the world and feed the flock. We're striving to carry out both commissions with equal intensity. Now, a huge theme of the ministerial conference this year, from the very start, the very first lecture of the conference by Mr. Gerald Fleury, was that God's government is everything. God's government is extremely important. It's really the structure by which the entire church operates, the entire work operates. Notice here, Matthew 4, this is the titanic battle of the ages between Jesus Christ and God the Father, where basically Satan tried everything he could to derail Christ and cause him to sin and thwart God's master plan to bring all mankind into his family. Satan basically tried to find any iota of vanity and arrogance in Christ. He challenged Christ and said, if you are really the Son of God, you must be pretty hungry after 40 days of fasting. You could just turn these rocks out here in the desert into bread and eat that. Go ahead. Then he said, if you're really the Son of God, you could throw yourself off a cliff and the angels would catch you. Go ahead and do that. Prove it, that you really are who you say you are. Christ biblically rebuked Satan every time. And then he decisively ended this confrontation in Matthew 4 and verse 10. He said, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Really, that's what the whole ministerial conference was about. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. God first, God only. And it's about submitting to God's government. Christ perfectly submitted to the Father for 33 and a half years. And everyone in God's government, every minister in the church is submitting to someone. Only God the Father doesn't have to submit because he's in charge over everything. Christ submits, Mr. Fleury submits, every minister submits to ministers over him. Notice here, Ephesians 2, starting in verse 20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. God's church, the PCG, is a spiritual temple. And it is built on this strong foundation of Jesus Christ and the biblical apostles and prophets, all the ministers throughout the seven church eras and up to this day are just building more upon that foundation. And then, of course, we have all the brethren as well, all the saints who have their part in that spiritual temple. But what a sobering responsibility. What an incredible opportunity for ministers in God's church to build on that glorious foundation. The ministry in the church is meant to have tremendous benefits for the brethren. Notice here, Ephesians 4, starting in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13. And it shows there is a real government structure in the church. Mr. Gerald Fleury has the offices of apostle and prophet. Then there are evangelists. Then there are pastors. Then there are preaching elders and local elders, all the way down the line of government. There are different regions and regional directors and ministers reporting to those regional directors to best serve all the different congregations around the world. It is a government structure. It's all reporting back to headquarters and to Mr. Fleury, who reports to Christ, who reports to God. And that government really is everything. And look at the benefits here. It's for perfecting the saints, for edifying the body of Christ, right? It's a blessing. God's government is a blessing to the church and to every member. And the ministry is to be helpers of the brethren's joy, not on the hunt for sin, not trying to catch people in problems, but to help people escape problems, to help people think and make decisions like God and live like God, becoming perfect like God. That's God's master plan, to convert all humans who will submit to him into God beings eventually, according to his time frame. And yes, there are just 48 ministers in the Philadelphia Church of God today, but everyone in the church is training to be a minister in the future to help all mankind think and make decisions and live like God. We're all training to be the teachers and rulers of the wonderful world tomorrow, after Christ sets up God's government on the earth. Notice here as well in Ephesians 4, verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's a major responsibility of the ministry as well, to shepherd the brethren away from lies, away from false doctrine and false religion. All kinds of sleight of hand, cunning craftiness, deception. Satan is always seeking to infiltrate the church. So at the conference, there was a lot of practical instruction just about how to counsel even new contacts, people who want to be a part of God's church, and just how to help them come along to where God can invite them to services. But of course, there are situations where maybe there is demonic influence. This is a dark, evil world, and a lot of people have been scarred by Satan the devil. And Satan would love to bring demon-influenced people into the church. Demon influence can come about through all sorts of different evils in someone's life. Abuse, sexual abuse, drugs, an out-of-control temper, pornography, evil music, horror movies. I mean, there's all kinds of ways where humans can have their minds open to that presence. And the ministry is responsible for discerning that and keeping that influence out of the church. There's also people who really would love to lead brethren astray, and they'd love to infiltrate the church and get a hold of people. And the ministry has to protect the brethren. The ministry has to, as it says here in Ephesians 4, verse 15, speak the truth in love. It's love to confront evil and keep sin out of the church. That was a huge theme of the conference. Fighting the devil, helping the brethren fight the devil, keeping the devil out of God's one true church. Another overarching theme of the conference was unity. This verse here in 1 Corinthians 1 was actually referenced or quoted a large number of times, I'll say. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You see, God does not tolerate division. God does not tolerate a bunch of dissension about which doctrines are correct. God doesn't tolerate rivalries and division and grudges and gossip and slander in his church. And so the ministry is responsible for making sure that the congregations are unified, that the brethren are as one man with one mind and one Holy Spirit, totally joined in one purpose to support God's work. Again, it was 21 lectures, 26 hours and 15 minutes of instruction in 5 days at the ministerial conference, 2025-26 ministerial conference. There were lectures about God's wisdom and judgment. We really do not know how to think like God without God's help. God has to show us the truth. God has to show us the way to live. And the ministry must be in tune with that to be able to help the brethren do the same. There were lectures about just proper shepherding of the congregations, providing for all their needs. Again, being unified, fighting complacency, and being vigilant in this spiritual war against the devil. There was a message about humility. We really need humility. We humans can so easily get caught up in our own natural talents and abilities, but ultimately, we should only be comparing ourselves to God and Christ and realizing how far we fall short of their perfect standard. That's how to be humble. That's how to realize we need God's help in everything we do. Ministers who are not close to God will fail. That's just the sobering truth. And so it really was a wonderful conference. And it's something where we can truly expect the entire church to benefit in the years to come. Again, the ministers were admonished to pass along what they learned at the conference to the brethren and to apply what they learned in doing the commission of the work. Again, warning the world and feeding the flock. We had another wonderful message about marriage and family at the conference, and just understanding more deeply how much work goes into a happy marriage and into successful child rearing. We have a book, Child Rearing with Vision, that gives a lot of practical instruction for how to basically raise future God beings in our homes. And ministers are expected to really work hard on their marriages and families, because problems in that area are so common and so many people need help. And it's not just about telling people what to do. It's about setting the example for how to do it. That's way more powerful than preaching or teaching. Leading by example in this area of marriage and family. And so I really came away from this conference sobered and motivated. It was certainly illuminating to see how much depth there is to the job of a minister and how much glorious depth there is in God's truth. We heard about returning to the basics in our Bible study, digging deep into mystery of the ages, the incredible human potential, the Bible correspondence course, the United States and Britain in prophecy, Malachi's message. All these books and booklets that you can receive for free at thetrumpet.com. Revelation that God gave the church through Herbert W. Armstrong and then through Mr. Gerald Fleury as well. It's all just such powerful truth, and we must be rooted and grounded in it. Deep Bible study will keep God in our lives and keep Satan out. A strong prayer life, all these areas that the ministry was instructed in at the conference and is now expected to help the church with. So we can all expect a lot of messages and articles based on what the ministry heard at the conference as they pass along that truth and that instruction to the brethren and to the world. What a powerful, uplifting conference it was. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.